WTTW programming originates from the Renee Crown Public Media Center. Programming on WTTW is made possible in part by the Harris Family Foundation.
This is a story that's going to lead to some hard questions.
I'm in.
No longer do they have to go to the casino. They got one in their pocket.
We don't want to profit on the backs of problem gamblers.
Brother, please.
Tuesday at 9 on WTTW.
Hey, Chicago.
We're the Leon family.
And you're watching WTTW.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at. Your future commute could cost you more as Illinois considers a toll hike. What to know about the plan?
The National Weather Service in Chicago has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for southeastern DuPage County in northeastern Illinois, central Cook County in northeastern Illinois, until 5:45 p.m. At 5:28 p.m., severe thunderstorms were located along a line extending from Darien to near Willow Springs to Flossmoor to Linwood, moving south at 35 miles per hour. Hazard, 60 miles per hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail. Source, radar indicated. Impact, hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect wind damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Locations impacted include Downers Grove, Woodridge, Alsip, Palos Hills, Hinsdale.
For the country's blood supply, declaring it a national crisis for only the second time ever. The organization says blood donations are not keeping pace with hospital demand, which is up during what they call the summer trauma season. Blood donations are at a four-year summer low, with extreme heat, poor air quality, and widespread foodborne illnesses all contributing to lower donor turnout. Red Cross says it has less than a one-day national supply of blood type O positive. That's the most commonly transfused and is only distributing O type to individual hospitals. They're encouraging people to make an appointment to donate, saying that all blood types are needed. For information on how to book that appointment, you can visit our website. If you think your neighborhood park needs better lighting or pollinator gardens or more picnic tables, voting is open to let the Chicago Park District know what you think. Starting today through next month, Chicago residents can submit a ballot either at Park District fieldhouses or online, identifying local park needs and proposing ideas for improvements. The citywide participatory budgeting program means the district will spend $500,000 on the top vote getter among the following four categories: accessibility, public safety and inclusion, recreation infrastructure, permanent fixtures and park amenities, and nature and beautification. Each of these categories has about 9 projects across the city where the money will be used. For details on how to vote, you can head to our website. Up next, why your commute could be getting more expensive. It's right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
Driving on the Illinois Tollway could cost you more in the near future. The Tollway Board is considering a 15-year, $26.5 billion infrastructure plan that would widen highways and ease congestion across northern Illinois. But the proposal would also raise passenger vehicle tolls beginning January 1st by roughly 57%, or about 45 cents per toll. Supporters say the plan would boost the region's economy and modernize aging infrastructure. But critics argue the board is moving too quickly and giving the public little time to weigh in. Here to help us understand are Bryce Hill, Director of Fiscal and Economic Analysis with the Illinois Policy Institute, and Cara Principe, a counsel for the Indiana-Illinois-Iowa Foundation for Fair Contracting, a construction industry nonprofit that promotes public projects. We also invited representatives from Illinois Tollway, but they did not respond. Bryce and Cara, thanks to the both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So, Bryce, the Illinois Tollway, they're calling this investment the Driving Connections Plan. It raises the toll fee 4 cents per mile, or roughly 45 cents per toll, and will address congestion and deterioration on many of northeastern Illinois' aging interstates. What are your concerns with this plan?
My concern is that we're seeing really the culmination of a broken political process here. So this entire concept kicked off late last year when Governor Pritzker signed a transformational regional transit authority funding plan. And at the time, Speaker Welch said that a toll hike was the cost for union support of that plan. So now the Tollway Board, which is appointed by Governor Pritzker, is going to decide what that toll hike is and where that money will be dispersed. And ultimately, former Tollway Board member and State Senator Bill Morris said that it seems as though lawmakers decided to hike tolls first and then are now rushing to put together this plan to justify that increase.
Cara, your organization, you help construction companies land big projects like this one. What would a $26 billion investment mean for engineers and construction workers in northeastern Illinois?
Yeah, so, well, we can look back to the last capital plan, Move Illinois, that we have statistics for, already 15 years of data. That plan raised $1.2 billion in state and local tax revenue. $14 billion was invested into that plan, and we received $28 billion of economic output, 150,000 jobs over the course of that 15 years. Almost 6,000 jobs per year were construction jobs. In addition, there was investments made into apprenticeship program, $150 million over the course of that program. So those are big investments that help our members and our contractors.
Bryce, is your biggest concern the political process by which this came into being, or is your concern that a toll amount of this size isn't necessary, that there's another way to fund the repairs that the agency says are needed?
I think it's a bit of both. So obviously there's the political nature of the entire process and how it played out, but also a question of whether or not this is what's needed right now. We're actually in year two of a new capital plan from the Tollway that started in 2025 called Bridging the Future. So that shows that toll hikes are unnecessary at this time. It's a seven-year plan. It runs through 2031. It uses only current revenues, and it not only maintains current infrastructure at the Tollway, but it invests money into improvements. So currently, tollway revenue collections are $1.3 billion above maintenance and operations, meaning that there's hundreds of millions of dollars available for new investments in infrastructure. And the current capital plan that we're only in year two of seven of shows that there's a model for not only maintaining our roads, but improving them without requiring a massive toll hike.
So as we mentioned, Bryce, the plan would raise the cost per toll for passengers by about 45 cents per toll. May not seem like a lot, but your organization estimate that that could add up to an additional $17 billion through the year 2042. Talk about the cost that drivers, motorists could be facing.
Yeah, so for a typical commuter paying the average transaction cost, if they're commuting to and from work 50 weeks a year, five times a day, that's going to represent $225 in additional travel costs and expenses. There's also going to be a 30% commercial vehicle toll increase as well. That's going to affect the price of consumer goods. So just based on current traffic patterns alone, that would generate $17 billion in additional revenue for the tollway. But that's a cost that's being paid by consumers and drivers ultimately. And another important piece to note is that the toll hike is actually going to include an automatic increase every 2 years. So the tollway is considering this measure once, but then every 2 years there's going to be an automatic increase associated with it, leaving little accountability for a future toll board for today's action.
Cara, you know, because Bryce mentioned the cost per toll for commercial drivers by 30 cents as well, could that hamper businesses that transport goods on Illinois highways?
I understand the cost to consumers and businesses, but the commercial vehicles make up 13% of the vehicle miles traveled on the busiest corridors, you know, I-294. So I understand that there's a cost to investing, but there's a real cost to not investing, because those roads will start deteriorating. That costs businesses time. That costs businesses money. So failing to invest is a big cost as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more, because officials, Illinois Tollway officials, say the plan would actually save drivers about $725 a year by reducing vehicle repairs, fuel costs that are caused by poor road conditions. How do deteriorating roads add up to costs for drivers, motorists?
I think time spent on the roads, loss in productivity, loss in time, and then those costs are passed down to the consumers.
Right. So if you're driving on a bumpy road that's not in good shape, and you get a flat tire or a line that gets knocked out, whatever the case might be. All right. Bryce, the tollway also says that the average Chicago driver spends about 100 hours per year in traffic, resulting in about $1,800 in lost time. What do you make of that argument that, you know, investing in the roads ends up saving passengers or drivers time and money in the long run?
I think having high-quality infrastructure is obviously a benefit to everybody. That's why the tollway already spends so much money on its infrastructure already. We also need to consider that these construction projects are causing some of that congestion. So some of that lost time is because of this construction. And we've seen many of these areas already being under repair in recent capital plans or even actively right now. So some of it would be contributing to additional congestion, but beyond that, I think that, again, we've had less than 2 months of consideration for the entire plan. Details weren't available until mid-June. Public comments, public hearings were held one time in every county where the tollway operates for 1 2-hour period. That time's already passed. On August 3rd, public comments made online or via mail are going to close entirely. And then the board could vote as soon as August 19th to approve this toll hike in a $26.5 billion plan. That's 2 months to decide a permanent toll increase and billions of dollars in spending. It's too little time.
Cara, we do have a name for it in Northern Illinois. It's construction season, right? The tollway's last major capital program, Move Illinois, launched in 2012. It's only scheduled to wrap up next year. What economic impact has that project had? How many jobs did it create?
Yeah, so it created 150,000 jobs over the course of the 15 years. Almost 11,000 jobs per year, 6,000 of which were construction, as I stated. There was nearly $150 million that was put into apprenticeship contributions, and so that creates the next generation of workers to help build these roads safely. And I will add that hourly wages for construction work went up from $30 to $48 an hour. That's a 61% increase. So that's all good for our members.
And will another 15 years of construction make congestion and traffic worse? And certainly driving on roads that are under construction are also damaging to your car.
I think that's a short-sighted argument, because eventually that will cause roads to become better use. They'll improve, modernize the roads, reconstruct roads, make better interchanges and such.
So. Okay. No, we're just making sure Bryce didn't want to jump in and add something.
The Illinois Department of Transportation rates 100% of the miles on the tollway, the lane miles, at acceptable and safe, which is far higher than the statewide average. And I think the current capital plan and the current excess revenues that the tollway already generates are just proof that roads can be effectively maintained and actually improved upon at current levels.
I think that that's proof that the previous capital plan worked. And I don't think that revenues equal the capital need for the next 15 years.
Okay. So, Bryce, you've urged Illinoisans to ask the Tollway Board to reject this plan. It sounds like you don't trust that they are going to, deliver the economic benefits that they're promising.
Sure. Older listeners and viewers will remember that when the tollway was originally established in 1953, the slogan was toll-free by 73. 50 years later, the tollway is collecting record amounts of revenues. We're considering the largest increase ever. So, yes, I don't have the most confidence in today saying what the future will hold if we give this power to the Tollway Authority. And then beyond that, I don't think that Illinoisans should give up in this one instance, the ability for the tollway to increase tax tolls in perpetuity every other year with that automatic inflation adjustment. We've seen what's happened in the state's road fund with the motor fuels tax being indexed to inflation. It was doubled in 2019 and then indexed to inflation annually every year since. In those 6 years, we've seen two times where the legislature has paused that increase because inflation got so high that it was damaging to consumers. There's a real threat that that happens here with this automatic increase tied to inflation as well.
All right. We know that online public comment closes August 3rd. Those community meetings ended last week. And we know that you've had some criticism for the amount of time that they've accepted public feedback. Kara, you know, the tollway board meets on August 19th. Couple seconds left. What's next? What do you expect to happen there?
Well, hopefully this passes. I think that the public comment that we've been involved in has been good, positive. People want this from what I've seen. And we're for robust comment. So hopefully it gets passed.
All right. We'll see what happens. Bryce Hill, Kara Principe, thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Up next, reaction to the possibility of daylight saving time becoming the norm year-round. Every year, many Americans dread losing that hour of sleep when changing the clocks. But actually, it's twice a year. But that might not be a problem for them much longer. 2 weeks ago, U.S. House lawmakers passed the Sunshine Protection Act, a bill that would make daylight saving time permanent. Advocates say the switch would allow more time for outdoor activities and boost businesses. But critics say the health and public safety impacts far outweigh potential benefits. Joining us to talk more about the bill are Trudy Leong, administrator at the Rogers Park Chamber of Commerce, and Eric Albrecht, senior advocacy program manager at the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. Thanks to you both for joining us. So, Eric, would you please start by just explaining the difference between daylight saving time and daylight standard time?
Absolutely. So permanent standard time is the healthy, safest choice for all Americans. Permanent daylight savings time would take away morning light from us that would lead to increased car accidents, bad health complications. And so permanent standard time is the healthy choice. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine came out in a statement in 2020 that advocates for that. We reaffirmed that. We formed a coalition, the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time, and we've been talking about this with lawmakers for the past several years.
Right. Okay. And so that's permanent saving or permanent standard time.
Yes.
Yeah, and we can kind of talk about what that means as well. But right now, everybody kind of remembers the spring forward and the spring when you set your clocks forward and the fall back when you set your when you wind your clock back to what is daylight standard time then. What would permanent daylight saving time mean for Midwestern states?
So permanent daylight savings time would lead to long, dark mornings. It actually would have sunrises past 8 a.m. for almost 70 days in the Chicagoland area. And so that
in the winter, the coldest days.
In the winter, yes, the coldest days. And so that would approach almost 9 o'clock for part of the year. And for other parts of the country, they'll have sunrises past 9 a.m., and that will extend the time frame that they have past 8 a.m. for up to like 150 days.
Okay. Trudy, advocates for permanent daylight saving time, they say that one benefit is more sunlight and outdoor time for kids in the evening. How would businesses also benefit from that?
Well, on the surface, businesses would benefit from permanent daylight savings time by being able to open later and then have more consumers come in after you know the more hours into the day. However, there is a big downside to that because, as you know, all our businesses need bright and alert employees. Let's say those employees are out late and having fun many hours late into the night. the previous day. And in the morning, without that bright sunshine to like wake them up, let's say, what time does the sun break? Like about 9 or so in those...
would be the condition. That would be the case.
Under permanent daylight savings time, it might not break till then.
Exactly. And then those employees would be so tired. First of all, they're tired from the previous night. And then who knows when they got to sleep at night. And then in the morning, they really don't wake up. They're still groggy. So the employers do not have bright and alert employees to work for them. And the most important part of running a business is that the employees are alert and ready to work.
Yeah, especially, you know, when you talk about some industries like hospitality or restaurants where folks, you know, they're on the job opening the doors pretty early.
Like, yes, even...
We got to get our donuts and coffee in the morning.
Yes.
Eric, permanent daylight saving time, it could have some pretty serious effects on sleep. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so your body, everybody is aware of the adverse side effects that are acute when the time change happens. There are increased heart attacks, strokes, car accidents, medical incidences. And so those people are aware of that as far as the time change goes. But under permanent daylight daylight savings time right now, your body is fighting against daylight savings time the whole time. It's the sun controls your internal circadian rhythm, and standard time is more closely aligned with your human circadian rhythm. So daylight savings time is setting you off an hour for the entire time you're on it. And if it's made permanent, those effects never go away.
Right, and we also know that disruptions in the circadian rhythm can also impact health.
Yes.
What are some of those impacts?
Yes. So again, you know, increased heart attack, strokes, decreased mental health. The important thing is that your body needs darkness at night to fall asleep and sunlight in the morning to wake up. It sounds like a simple concept, but you know, that melatonin that's produced at night is very important. And the sunlight in the morning is the biggest indicator that suppresses that melatonin and allows you to wake up.
Right. Trudy, do you anticipate, you know, businesses starting to change their hours to accommodate this bill? Like
they
you
might.
Said, opening later,
yes.
Yeah, if it passes?
Yes, definitely they might. But however, there is that downside of it happened before in Florida. Once they changed it, then there were more accidents. Kids were getting hit by cars in the morning. Right. And then the increased energy savings, I think they wanted to save energy, weren't much. So even though the businesses might benefit, on the whole, I don't think that it would benefit the entire consumer community that much if everybody is not... their circadian rhythm is not functioning properly.
Right. Eric, there are the health risks that are associated for kids and teenagers, because especially for teens and kids, for that matter, right?
Yes.
Who need more sleep in teens because their circadian rhythm is different. How might this impact them?
Yeah, absolutely. As she just referenced, in 1974, the outrage over permanent daylight savings time was caused because of so many accidents involving young kids. So that's the direct safety impact. But their health is impacted too. Young children, they're not aware of the time change or what time it is. The sun controls when they go to sleep, hopefully, and when they wake up. And for teenagers especially, they're biologically predisposed to stay up later. And so the daylight savings time, if they have dark mornings as well, it will be even harder for them to wake up.
Right, and off to school they go with all the responsibilities that kids have.
Yeah.
Trudy, the city reports about 30 cases of business-related burglaries a week, most of which do not result in an arrest being made. Could an extra hour of evening daylight possibly bring some of those numbers down?
I don't think so, because crime happens in the broad daylight, too. I've seen it, I've experienced it. It really doesn't help.
Okay. Eric, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, as you've mentioned, you all support a change to permanent daylight standard time, and you have introduced a bill that opposes the Sunshine Protection Act. Tell us more about your bill, and why the change to standard time do you think would be more beneficial from a health and sleep perspective?
Absolutely. So the Sunshine for Our Kids Act, H.R. 9638, was introduced by Representative Mary Gay Scanlon and Representative Pat Harrigan of North Carolina. It's a bipartisan bill. We have about 10 co-sponsors right now, and it hasn't even been a month. And this presents the only viable way to end the clock change that protects safety and health of all Americans.
Okay. I guess there are three scenarios, right? We change to permanent daylight saving, permanent daylight standard, or just leaving things the way they are. You know, do the health benefits from no longer changing the clocks, do they outweigh the risks of moving to permanent daylight saving time?
Yeah, we have multiple studies about the adverse health effects. The potential economic benefits haven't really been proven, and they're mostly anecdotal. The Congressional Research Services put out a report yesterday that noted that fact, but also noted the fact that the health implications are well documented. And so permanent standard time, again, is the only choice if we want to get rid of the time change. And so that's our position.
Yeah. Trudy, you know, a couple seconds left. How do you think a permanent switch to standard time would impact businesses?
I think that the employees, what we have to consider the most is the employees. And then they would be, their circadian rhythm would be so used to, like, getting up at a certain point of day, going to sleep at a certain point of day. I think they would be much more alert.
Okay. That's where we'll have to leave it. Trudy Leong and Eric Albrecht, thanks to you both for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that's our show for this Monday night. You can get Chicago Tonight streamed on Facebook, YouTube, and our website, WTTW.com/news, and join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. Chicago Teachers Union President Stacey Davis Gates joins us to discuss the proposed budget for Chicago Public Schools. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that contributes to public safety policy and guidelines. PBS NewsHour, next on WTTW.
Next time on Antiques Roadshow, which family heirlooms have more than sentimental value?
I brought my mom's wasp jacket. She loved to fly.
Holy smokes!
Don't miss Antiques Roadshow from Denver Botanic Gardens, Chatfield Farms.
Tonight at 7 on WTTW.
This is the American dream!
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like.
Your eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Glory! Hallelujah!
Tonight at 9 on WTTW.
Public media depends on you. I'm Ken Burns. If you value thoughtful storytelling, please consider supporting WTTW with a contribution. Your support now and into the future is essential.
Democracy.
When this showed up, I was so excited.
Oh, it's like opening a present.
Please turn the page.
Whoa! This is the big bean in Chicago.
episode, actor Lizzie Kaplan and comedian Hasan Minhaj.
That is your great-grandfather.
He had $3?
Yep, they had elephants.
That's epic.
Tuesday at 7 on WTTW. WTTW programming originates from the Rene Crown Public Media Center. WTTW shares our gratitude with the Alexandra and John Nichols family for their leadership commitment to trusted news and public affairs programming.
It's not just NASA. Private companies could do great things in space.
We weren't there as Americans. We were there as space for all mankind.
Tuesday at 8 on WTTW.
This is a story that's going to lead to some hard questions.
I'm in.
No longer do they have to go to the casino. They got one in their pocket.
We don't want to profit on the backs of problem gamblers.
Brother, please.
Tuesday at 9 on WTTW.
Hey, Chicago. My name is Tim. We're at the Garfield Park Conservatory, and you're watching WTTW.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett. Amna Nawaz is away. On the News Hour tonight, Seattle police search for another suspect after a deadly shooting at a crowded festival beneath the Space Needle. The weekend passes with no new U.S. attacks on Iran. That's as experts worry about America's shrinking weapons supply. And massive youth-led protests lead to the resignation of India's education minister, exposing cracks in that nation's government.
He fears losing power. They know if this protest goes on for a long time, the government can fall.
Major funding for the PBS NewsHour has been provided by the ongoing support of these individuals and institutions, and friends of the NewsHour, including Leonard.